Ramble.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What is up, Tripod Nation? Hello, good morning. You got Zachary in the Miles Gremlin chair. If anything sounds bad today, it's my fault. Life is good. What's up, Ned? Good morning.
I'm here. Good morning. How you doing, Zach?
Dude, I'm feeling good. I'm a little stressed out.
There's a lot of dials on that. A lot of ones and twos.
We have a new podcast set up, and it's so unbelievably convoluted. And I think that Miles just made it this way so that
no one could steal his job.
So that he's irreplaceable.
Yeah.
But Miles is out. Keith is out. Eugene is out. Everyone's on vacation. It's summer.
It's true. And I'm leaving town tomorrow. So you're lucky you have me.
Yeah. And it's really just me holding down the fort. I don't understand why we don't coordinate our vacations more, because everyone's gone. And yeah. It's not like I can do anything.
I told you should have just gone to Spain.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not that easy.
Well, you know.
Sometimes.
Could be. I coordinated my vacation because I knew Keith was going to be out for 2 weeks. He's going to a wedding in Greece. If you saw on Instagram, he rode a jet ski for the first time.
He was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
He was so mad.
Mad?
Yeah, well, I think we talked about this, but he really did not want to do it and was really upset about everyone insisting that he should do it. But then he did it, and then it seems like his worst dreams came true, is that it hurt him. He was stressed out the whole time.
Mm. I don't know what to say to that.
We'll find out.
I'm one of the people that it's like, you should do it.
Yeah, obviously you should do it.
Obviously you shouldn't do it if it's a choppy day.
I don't know, man.
It's better if you do it on a nice tranquil water. Was he in the ocean?
I you know what? I'm telling a story about Keith. I have no idea.
Anyways, it's about us. It's about us.
But we didn't want to just give you an episode with just us, because how fun are me and Ned really alone? Not that fun.
We would talk about fantasy football.
No one wants that. No one wants that. Please welcome to the studio, Zoe.
Hello.
Zoe, you guys don't know, but you know her work. She has worked with us on basically any of our smart videos on the Try Guys channel. Anything that required research, the incredible anti-AAPI violence documentary. What else have you done?
Biden video. The Biden video.
The inimitable, world-changing Keith Pokemon Adventure video.
Oh, yeah.
And Keith Reviews 2021. And also the time you guys interviewed Fauci, which was so cool and so amazing. I was so honored to be part of that.
We should talk about that. So what do you do?
I'm a writer and producer. And I am currently the news producer for Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Which is so cool. We love that show.
It's a great show. I love my job. It's really cool. And I started working with you guys because I legit couldn't sleep one night. And I sent you guys an email at 3 a.m. And I was like, hey, I remember, because I've seen all your videos. And I was like, Zach said in this one video that you guys don't have a research department anymore. Hi, this is me. Do you want one?
And we immediately were like, yeah.
I was so shocked because you guys got back to me within 6 hours. And I was like, this is never happening. This is like a 4 a.m., fever dream. Just stop it. But you guys got back to me and we did the Biden videos and all that. And it's been so incredible working with you guys. It's been so much fun.
So just to be clear, you have a full-time job. Yep. That is a very demanding full-time job. Yep. For a real TV show.
This is a real TV show.
Well, we're a real internet show. but it is not a small task, the stuff you do. I want to hear about working with Sam B. But then you also just, as a side hustle, then stay up late and research for us sometimes.
Yeah, because it's fun. Because I like to, my whole job is being a know-it-all, and that fits in so well with my personality. Just being really, really, my whole job is just being well, actually, that's the person in the room. It's actually, it's not 21,000, it's 2,800, whatever. And it fits in really well with what I do. And that's what I do for the show, basically. So, for example,
that's awesome.
I'll either pitch a topic or someone else will pitch a topic. It'll get assigned out and I'll be the researcher on it. And I'll basically, my job is to create a research packet for the writers, which is like 12 to 15 pages of like all relevant information that they would need, all sources. But
and
on
we're
top
talking
of that,
12 to 15 pages, yes, single space, yeah, not oh, futzing with no, the margins.
It's dense.
No. This yeah, is like,
you guys got some of that.
So not yeah, your 12.5 times New Roman, no, 2.1 no, like spacing margins, per line. Yeah, yeah,
I can't imagine you ever did that, Ned. Hell no.
Yeah. Hell no. I had to cut down my yes, writing to fit the word limits.
I was the
in
same way. We're all fucking do-gooders over
here. Yeah, no, it's very much cut down the writing because they're like, do we need all of it? I'm like, well, it's important. But basically, the other thing I do is I learn everything about it so that when they have questions,
yeah,
I can just answer them. And so I just read a lot and I read a lot of information very quickly. And sometimes we have to do it very, like for an act one, it's topical. So something that happened earlier today is we're talking about. Yeah, that's happened a few times, especially during the last administration.
It's mostly deep dives, but sometimes it's just the week of
act ones are week of stuff. And that's just us like really just reading day of, day before, making sure everything is correct. It's the kind of work where we always joke where it's like nobody but us is going to care. Cause like we make same change from saying from most to many if it's less than 50%. And it's like a minor language thing. Cause it's not most if it's not over 50%. So we're like, oh, it's only 47%. Can we just say many?
But that's true. I mean, yeah, if it's not over 50%,
so it's stuff
not
like
most,
that where I don't think anyone would Twitter shame us or anything, but it's just like me and a bunch of nerds like who are other researchers just going like, oh man, no, that's not correct.
Okay, so many
so what
I'm
is
pause
the,
you there. Yeah,
the
there's
Twitter
so much
clapback like when you're know it all.
I'm not on social media, so that's why I think the clapback. Yeah,
that's
it's really
smart.
Yeah, that's when I remember when we did the Fauci video, there were so many comments that were just inaccurate. And I was talking to Rachel and I was like, it is taking all my willpower not to comment with a research paper right now. And she's like, don't do it. And I was like, but it's so wrong.
Oh my God, if we had
what are they talking about? No.
A fact checker for our YouTube comments.
Oh, wow.
What a dream that would be full time.
Just everyone starts with, well, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
well,
it's a paragraph.
I would love to do that if you ever guys wanted to like do for one of those videos, because the Fauci one, literally, I was like, literally
should we make
Rachel
a video called fact checking our YouTube comments, because that's pretty fun.
That's kind of fun.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah,
you know what I love, so going back to what you're talking about your process like and what your job is, there's this misconception that smart people just know more, which is often true, but really the smartest people just research. They just read.
Absolutely.
Our buddy Hank Green, who has become like TikTok's de facto researcher, he openly says like, I don't know things. I just, you ask me questions, I look it up, I tell you. And also he knows a lot of stuff. But I just think that's so funny. Like anyone can know things.
Absolutely.
You just have to have a curiosity and a...
That's the thing about like the internet and Google. And like, it was such a perfect thing for me because... Like, you know, it's in the last 10, 20 years, right? So it's like, wait, you have a magic box that has all the knowledge of humankind and I can ask it. And I am one of those people, like anytime I have a random question about anything, like you can tell what my brain is like by going through my Google history.
Wow.
And it's stuff like, why do mice, are bigger than rats or like smaller, like, you know, stuff like just random.
Why are mice
smaller than rats, and they're altricial rodents. So it means that they're born blind and deaf.
And then do
they
eventually
develop,
learn how to hear?
Yeah. So that's one of years and years back, I did a thesis on like mice population.
No,
hearing.
You did not. You did a thesis on mice.
For college for my major, because I'm
spent
science
a
background.
A year plus thinking about mice.
Yeah, thinking about how mice are born and how their parents communicate with them. And if they're born deaf, that like the them crying, right? They can't hear themselves crying, but the parent responds. So like trying to figure out like the language of those animals and rodents and stuff.
Is it all about, is the conclusion hugs?
The conclusion was that the more the animal cries, the frequency of the cries, that's when the parent reacts. So it's like, there's like a certain threshold. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh,
can confirm.
I know. It's like, I needed a year to let you know that when the baby cries, the parent responds.
It turns out when a baby cries,
it's annoying. Yeah. The more annoying it is. Yeah.
Faster.
There was so thinking about the research documents that you got us, there was one time I had her fact check a video for us, and the thoroughness of it, there was a line where it was like, we're here at this studio in West Hollywood, and there was one line, address is this, can confirm, zoned in West Hollywood. I'm like, wow. Yeah, we didn't need you to fact check that part.
No, but that's we fact check everything. So I always tell, when someone asks me, like, how do you do the job? It's like, think you're an alien who's only read about planet Earth. And we check everything because there's so many times I'm like, I am sure I know this. I'm sure I know everything about this. And it's in exact language because when I looked it up for something I was sure of, I found something.
Wow.
It happens all the time. So I always say check literally everything, including stuff you know for sure is correct.
Did you ever remember a time when you didn't check something yes. and then it went on air yeah. and you got like
so I have one
for
and
it.
One yeah I, one I mean, and I don't never know if I wanna, again. Yeah, no, one it's like one, mistake. No, literally one and never again. And I was, it's just,
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's my shame to carry. I'll So what happened was that this was we did a show. We had a joke about BTS.
Oh shit!
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking Zach's language.
Don't fuck up about BTS.
Yeah, no. I know. So what happened was. So one of the things that I do is I check all the graphics. So I make sure that the graphics department is completely accurate. Like same thing I've done for you guys. Like mm-hmm. check the graphics, make sure everything is accurate. So in this particular graphic, the joke was, can you imagine BTS without Rap Monster, right? And then you take Rap Monster out of the lineup. But we accidentally took Jimin out of the lineup.
Don't you dare.
Oh, no.
And it was, oh, my God.
It was my responsibility.
That is.
I know. I did check it.
Honestly, that is like the one of the worst things.
It's one of the worst things. The army was very nice to us. I want to say thank you for, but that was like my big, and I was in so much trouble the next day. I'm like, do you know how terrifying it is to like wake up and see like 5 missed calls from an executive producer? Like, and I'm like, oh, shit, no.
You could have chosen any fandom in
I
the
know.
World.
No, no,
and
no.
You went up against inadvertently against BTS.
This is why you don't hear about like when I piss off the Looney Tunes crowd, because like it didn't come up.
Can I pause real quick to make this about me for a second?
Oh yeah,
so
sure.
As you guys know, and as you may know, I have a little love affair going on with the BTS army, the BTS fandom. It's been very fun.
I believe you are the Jimin.
Yes, yeah, it's, as is obvious to everyone.
That's
who
why
listens.
I can't see you very well.
you took me out. There have been news articles written about me in different K-pop fandoms, and most recently Koreaboo, which is one of the top Korean and K-pop I don't know, magazine
publications.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. 2.1 million followers on Twitter. So they're a big deal. And they wrote a full article about the cake that I made in Without a Recipe for BTS. But it's so funny seeing a news article that has quotes from me about my love, like dumb things that I say in videos, like, taken as actual news quotes.
No way. So just the stuff that you're spouting off the top of your head in videos is then like a paragraph of text in an article,
it's so
as
fun.
If this is like
newsworthy.
Your quote to the world.
The one that really blew my mind is that when we were baking, I think someone helped me and I said, teamwork is makes the dream work, which is a pretty common phrase. But apparently BTS tweeted that once. And I did, I'm going to go ahead and on record and say I did not know that. But the article took it as my true BTS fandom shining through. And they're like, he is true ARMY. Look at him knowing this deep cut. And I'm fucking loving it. I'm loving every second of this. It's a real, real joy. So ARMY, if you're out there, I want to say thank you. I'm loving this this love affair that we're having, and I want to keep it going.
That's great. Yeah, that's why it's so great when they don't contact you, and you're like, yeah, no, I am that brilliant. You're right. Because I feel like if they've done an interview, I'm like, no.
Okay, it is so awkward and painful watching what you speak in conversations in text form. We've done PR interviews where basically this goes in an article. Oh, exactly. Like, you think you're the smartest person in the world. You think you said something eloquent and beautiful, but then you look at it written out and there's all these filler words. Yeah. And it's sort of like it so bad. It's so painful to look at it written out because it doesn't mean anything.
No, and also as a writer, when you're talking and when you're writing, it's two very distinct languages. And when you're writing a script, everyone's got a rhythm to how they speak. So you have to make sure to copy that rhythm of like how they do stuff.
We found that on the other end of the spectrum when we had to read our audiobook out loud. Mm. I thought it read very well on the page, but there were some things where I would read out and I'm like, this is not how people talk. How am I supposed to deliver this line? This is weird. This sounds stupid.
It's absolutely a different thing. Talking and writing, it's a different animal.
Wait, tell me more about trying to write for someone's rhythm. How do you do that?
So, you have to, it comes with practice, but you basically pick it up how everyone talks. If you listen close enough, there's a pattern. There's always a cadence and a pattern to how they talk. And that's what gives them a distinct personality on the script. What a lot of writers do is that they don't think about that and they'll just write. And so when you're reading it, everyone kind of sounds the same, but if
screenwriting mistake 101, everyone has the same
exactly.
voice.
Screenwriting mistake 101, but everyone's got a distinct pattern. And if you have a character in your mind that speaks a certain way, you just got to switch voices when you do it. And you'll notice that they say different things in different ways. And also when you write it, there's like different emphasis and pauses and things. And that helps when you're writing a screenplay, the actor. That's everyone's got a different rhythm and you can mimic someone's rhythm. Like, I feel like I kind of tried to mimic John Oliver a little bit with the Keith 2021 year in review video. And it's because that's like kind of what we were going for. But he's got a very distinct way of talking and his writers know that. Like the way he punctuates and the way he says things, it's you can hear his voice on the page.
So your job is not just knowing everything, but it really is researcher and writer. It's such a unique combination of talents and skills. And I imagine that job did not exist 15 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's like a Daily Show, John Oliver, thing.
Before Daily Show, it didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Even after Daily Show, only one person had that job, and now there are a couple of people.
Yeah, but. So I'm a news producer, but I was like, my title was researcher for a long while, and that's just not a thing at, say, other shows, other talk shows,
like Jimmy Fallon. Researcher?
They have one person. So those Tonight Show late night ones, because I know that because like that's what we are. They have a person, but like it's different levels. For example, when we're researching, if we're like watching one of the other shows, we're like, oh, I wouldn't let Sam say that. I don't know. That seems like a lot of opinion to me based on little fact. I wouldn't let her say that. And so So you've got different standards because you're like saying different things. And sometimes it's just like one person getting the script like a few minutes before and they can't. And then it goes to air. Like it's very quick moving, especially they have like 5 shows a week or.
Well, and something like Sam B lives in this. Yeah, it's in between, right? It's not CNN. But it's certainly not Fallon, right? Yeah. Like, you need to have the credibility of a newscaster. Some people are, that is genuinely where they are getting their information. You want to hold yourself to that standard. But also, it is entertainment and comedy and has that rhythm. So you're making jokes, but you want to make sure those jokes don't violate real information. Exactly. That is a very thin needle of thread.
Yeah. And we always have this argument where they'll say something and it's like a joke, but it's inaccurate. And so you always end up with this, is this jokey enough? It's a joke, right? Like we don't have to, it's a joke. It's so many back and forth. I work with the head writers, but we decide what to take to them, right? Uh-huh. So within my department, and I work with two incredible people, and so our little like research team is like, that's a joke, right? Like we can let that one go, right? Let's
right.
Spy.
So if something's totally not accurate, but it's very clear that someone's clearly a like joke, right? Making a joke,
exactly.
Then you let it slide,
yes.
I guess.
Exactly. Whoa. But it's like a line of like
we've had that in some of our videos, and we've looked at each ourselves and been like, we'll let because exactly. our first of all,
maybe
our
if
standards,
I were a chicken,
our standards are not as high over here at Second Try. You know, we're willing to.
And I'm willing to like
let something
as long
slide.
As I tell you and you know what the problem is, because it's not my name on the, it's not my neck on the line. My job is just to tell you what's wrong. It's you decide. It's your show. It's like your thing. So like, you know, a lot sometimes they're like, oh, can we just leave it in? And I'm like, look, I told you what was wrong. Leave it in. It's fine.
It was crazy doing that Fauci video with you. So if you guys did not see, months ago, we got to interview Dr. Anthony Fauci, and we knew we were going to have 10 minutes of his time, I believe.
15.
But
yeah, it was tight.
It was 15. But when I talked to Zoe, I think he gave me like 20 pages of research. We poured through, maybe it was even more, but
yeah. So you don't have to read the research packets, but I do have to make one in order for you to like do the question. So I have to learn all of this.
We had two packets. So I think
which was like very long.
And then
dense.
We came up with questions together. Yes. And then based on your interviews with Fauci, you came up with answers to the question. And then what was also crazy,
they were pretty accurate too.
And they were really accurate. Yeah. Like, so we were following
you
along.
You predicted his answers?
Yeah.
Because he's given so many interviews at this point.
Because what he's saying is science and fact. So you know what he's going to say and how he's going to say it.
But here's what blew my mind the most is that Zoe's like, based on other interviews he's done, his answers average, I don't know if you recall.
Oh, it was so long ago.
It was long. It was like 90 to 120 seconds.
I was able to get a pretty good average of how much questions. For 15 minutes. Exactly.
Exactly. And so it's like, okay, you have 15 minutes, but you don't actually have 15 minutes. You have six questions. Yes. Plan to have 10. You're not going to get through them all. He may answer, like we were going through, and it's like, in this question, he actually may end up answering these two questions. If he does, strike those. So we had this crazy,
decision tree,
where it was like, okay, it was so high stress. And then I don't know if you remember this, Ned, he came late.
Yes, I remember this because I was like, wait, does that cut into the 15? Like,
we had no idea.
I was like, does that cut into the 15 minutes? That's not cool. No, man, come on.
We had no idea how much time we were going to have. So we were just on the fly in a Google Doc.
Press engagements back to back. So we're just sitting in a Zoom room, like waiting. Yeah. And then when he comes in, it's like, it's go time.
He's so great.
One thing that we couldn't predict was how he was going to react to a joke about vaccines being vouchers.
Oh.
It was pretty good. Yeah, you made him laugh.
You did make him laugh.
I made him laugh.
You did make him laugh. I saw that.
That's the only thing I remember from the interview.
No, that was great.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Okay, we were talking before about the internet. It is the wonderful, endless well of information. Mm-hmm. It's also an endless well of misinformation.
Yeah.
So as someone whose job it is to get facts, how do you navigate that? But also to people out there, how can they be better at not falling for bullshit?
Sure. So there are some sources that the whole point of the source is to tell you whether or not something is accurate or inaccurate. If you're concerned
about...
But
how do I trust those?
Snopes, you can trust.
Okay.
Snopes, you can
Why?
Trust. Because the journalists that they have, at least like, you know, like ProPublica people, like their whole point is to be correct. Mm-hmm. The whole point of Snopes existing is to find out what is factually true. And it will tell you the mostly true, not true, and why, and all the background and the details. So they do their research. And what I like about them is that they just present you with the information and the sourcing, you know? And so
with no editorialization.
No. I mean, they'll say whether or not they think the statement is true or not true, or like whether the rumor is false or not. But I like the fact that you can just look for yourself. Like there's a certain point where it becomes just, you know, a source, a primary source. Like, I know that, like, there's a lot of times it's like, did this person say this? Well, there's video of him saying it, and it's a real video. It's not a deep fake. So yeah, he did say it, you know?
It must be a pretty uniquely infuriating time for someone like you to live through. I think for all of us. But like, did you guys see this bullshit? I don't know when this episode's coming out, so I apologize if this is super dated. But there was a story of a woman who did not want to take the vaccine because she thought it would turn you into the zombies from Will Smith's I Am Legend. Did you see this, Ned?
I did not see this. This is a
real legend? Yeah, I saw it, man.
You saw the movie. So this is a real story. And then the newspaper had to correct it. And they said, actually, in the movie, it was not caused by a vaccine. It was caused by a genetically mutated virus.
Yeah.
And then other people, including the screenwriter, Kiva Goldman, quote tweeted and was like, also, it's a fucking movie that I wrote. It's not real. And the fact that we had to do this many layers of fact-checking.
It was fact-checking how the person was incorrectly attributing something to a movie.
Yeah.
It was like, there are real people out there who do not want to get the vaccine because they think it'll turn you into a zombie from a movie. And the movie, that's not even how they become fucking zombies. And also, it's not that good of a movie. There, I said it. It's fine. It's not even in Will Smith's top five. Big Will Smith fan. It's stupid. I'm so
back.
Fucking,
you take that back.
All right, you're going to go top five Will Smith movies right now. You're going to tell me it's in the top five. Men in Black 1.
No, you can keep that part of it.
All right, cool.
Can I just say one thing about Men in Black?
I love Men in Black.
Okay. I love Men in Black 1. Like, I know it by heart.
Is there an
but
accuracy
Men in
there?
Black 2, and like, it's so bad. It's like one of the few things that make something retroactively. Like, it's so bad, it ruins the first movie for me. Do you know what I mean? And there are some sequels that do that where I am afraid to look at the sequel because I love the original so much. Mm. And I'm like, I'm not, like, Men in Black 2, I was so sad to watch it because Men in Black 1, which it was so bad.
Men in Black 1 is like one of those VHSs that I watched so many times I knew parts by heart.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
If you're the right age, though, everything's good. Like, I tell you, I was 12 when the Star Wars prequels came out.
It worked.
And I was there talking with my friends like, well, actually, a Gungan energy shield wouldn't withstand a blast from a droidicar.
Man's right. When he's right, he's right. Fact checked.
I'm fucking
Actually, a Gungan energy shield would, but not if it's the small one.
How do we fix the internet, Zoe?
I'm
so mad. I know, like, you guys got me back to comedy, but like, I'm just mad.
Well, I don't think because it could have been a potentially wonderful thing, right? But it's the way society is. It's not, you're not trying to fix anything, right? Because that's just like people are. And now you have this, they can be anonymous online, and it just like brings out the worst in people and a lot of misinformation. I am a big proponent of just education.
Yeah.
It's like, it's when you let education fall and people not think critically. Like, you don't have to, like you said, like the smartest people, they don't know this stuff. You need to just learn how to take in information and process it.
What responsibility do you think that large companies like Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, et cetera, who are in many ways people's gateways to information, have a responsibility to
police? That's actually a tough question for me because I've thought about it a lot, and I do understand the argument of don't mess with this because, you know, because it's just a forum. We're just a platform. And if we start monitoring it and we start like,
it's such a slippery slope.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think that the people who created like Facebook and like social media, I think they created a monster that they didn't know was going to be like, you know, like something that's taken on a life of its own that they absolutely could not and did not predict. And so they don't know how to deal with it because no one thought this would happen. This is bizarre. But that's what happened, right?
And it happened so quickly.
And it happened so quickly. And we're moving so quickly and we're diverging so quickly.
It is fascinating to think about that, like, these companies, they have created something that they barely understand. And certainly our lawmakers, who are what, average age over 65, they certainly don't understand
they
it.
They do not.
And so we can't rely on our lawmakers to regulate it, nor do we necessarily want to in some cases, but someone's got to be the grown up in the room. And I don't know that any of us can wrap our brains around it enough to know how to navigate it safely.
I think that there are certain things we can do. I think there's personal stuff you can do. You know when you're like, you can be a, a consumer who is mm-hmm. is informed. And I think that's the best thing you can do on a person by person. But when it comes to like, how do I, you know, convince this person that they're not going to I Am Legend if they take the vaccine, you know, like I don't know the answer to that. Like I can, and human, you know, psychologically human behavior, the more you show them evidence that what they are saying is not correct, the more they'll dig their heels in. So it's like, it's not, you can't argue your way out of it. Like, I don't know what the answer is, but I'll let you know if I come up with one. Hmm.
Well, so what bums me out is, or I guess what scares me is that the people that hear your answer and go, yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I need to be more discerning with the information I share. They're not the ones I'm worried about, right? Anyone who hears that message from you, I think already...
I don't think your audience has that,
right? And there's something about the internet that makes things feel so objectively mm-hmm. true. So when certain people see something shared on Facebook, they go, oh, this is a fact. And I honestly, in a very small way, I've seen us interact with that in our videos sometimes too. And certainly not ones you've worked on, right? But we edited a video and the B-roll that we chose inadvertently created this effect in viewers' mind of like, oh, this is an objective truth, as opposed to this is just something that this person believes. And the way that we present our experts in videos makes them really seem like they are experts. They are objective truths. And I understand I'm talking very vaguely here. I don't want to throw a certain video under the bus, but
I think you can talk about the pseudoscience video as a genre.
Right.
As like, this is like a cool thing to try because some people do it and maybe they see benefits, maybe they don't. But to state it as like, you know,
I think we did that for a video where I worked on and I was just like, that's fine, you can say that, but here's the you know, like the asterisks at the end kind of thing.
Yeah, there was one that so the one you're thinking about, we brought you in because I made the mistake on one you did not work on. But it was like, it was just this realization of like, oh, we have a tremendous amount of power if I have someone say this line and I pair it with this image, because we just like to throw B-roll on stuff. It will create this information in the viewer's mind of, oh, if I do this thing, I'm going to have this effect. Again, I understand I'm speaking very vaguely. I'm so sorry. But that's a real power. And so when you see stuff on social media, it has that same effect of like, you see something, you go, oh, this is, someone's giving me this information. It must be true. Oh,
I remember that, just like what you were talking about the graphic, I remember there was something and I was like, no, this is the wrong nerve, or that's not how that works. That's not the part of the brain. And I was like, no, can you change it? That's not what you're talking about. And it's like stuff where it's like, you're generally thinking science, you know? And it was like, I don't know, it was like the outline of a person's body. And they were like, you guys were showing like the nerves firing or something. And
yeah, sometimes we pick B-roll that just looks vaguely scientific.
Exactly. Yeah. And I
was like, but it's not actually accurate.
Yeah, exactly. And
so I was like, fill space with a clip library that you have rights to.
I'll talk, since the one I was speaking so unbelievably vaguely. I'll speak more specifically about it. And if we want to cut it out, we can. We did this ice bath video, which came under fire for a couple reasons. One, the expert who we brought in, who, while he is actually quite revered in the area,
but the ice bath community.
Yeah.
He has a lot of red flags, including some very heinous anti-vaccine comments. Has talked about how vaccines can cause autism, which ain't true, and also just a weird thing to say, and was anti-COVID vaccines. And we didn't know that. We didn't do our research. Mm-hmm. That's on us.
Whoops.
It's just we were moving too fast. We didn't vet the expert. We saw that he was revered in the community. Mm-hmm. Like, great, let's bring him on. That we fucked up. But in that video, he was talking about how ice baths had their studies that link it to the reduction of something called brown fat, which is a certain type of fat. And that is, there actually are some studies. It's limited studies, but there are some studies that support that. Do you disagree?
Limited studies.
There's very limited studies.
Yeah, like, limited studies. I remember that video. I didn't check that one, but
yeah, you did not work on that one.
Yeah, I didn't work on that one, but I do remember watching it and being like, huh.
Yeah, it's not a well-studied thing, and it's not something that is like scientifically proven in any stretch.
But a lot
of
what they said like was real. Like
But this specific moment, we paired him saying that there have been some studies that link it to the reduction of brown fat with, you know, we chose B-roll, and the B-roll that was chosen was this like time warped image of someone who was obese, like quickly slimming down. And so you synthesize those two lines. You have this guy that we are projecting or presenting as an objective truth, saying if you take an ice bath, you're going to lose weight, which is not true and not what we meant to say. And because we're editing him out of context, we're just like, okay, we're getting to the information quickly. You pair it with that image of someone slimming down. The viewer now has been given information that says, jump in cold water, you're going to lose 100 pounds. And that's like a weird thing and totally not what we intended, but that is what we presented. And it was a moment where I saw like, oh, we were irresponsible there. We should have looked at that more carefully, and we need to be more discerning with the information that we are putting out advertently and inadvertently.
I have to say, though, like, I want to give you guys credit. Like, I, you know, watch a lot of YouTube and I'm a fan of you guys. You guys are way more responsible than a lot of, I just want to give you your due also. I mean, like, you guys really do try. Like that, like when you say that, you mean it. Like, you do try to be, and a lot of people don't.
Yeah, sure.
You
know? I mean, a lot of people just say, turn off comments, fuck it, move on.
It is a balance, because at the end of the day, we're like, well, we're just really trying to show us screaming, jumping into cold water, and maybe present a little bit of the, like, well, some people do this every day. Why is that? What do they think they're getting out of it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think to not do that and to just purely focus on the gags and the kind of impact of screams and stuff, that's irresponsible. So we try not to. One thing that people may not know that we can do on YouTube that you can't do on the Samantha Bee Show is we can cut things out. When we miss the mark, there's actually a feature that lets you slice and dice things.
It's a new feature.
It's a new feature.
That is,
and it's clutch.
Pretty great.
That is
if
clutch.
We fuck up, like we did in this video, we can actually, we found every single clip where that expert was talking, and we clipped it out.
That's great.
And we're doing it in such a way where narratively the video still flows. It still feels like it's, you know, not like jumping around.
It's not the best video.
It's not
now.
The best way to do it. But
at least we were able to take this, you know, this thing that we saw as harmful that we put out into the world, and we're like, you know what? We're gonna fix this. And for people that still want to watch the video and just watch the scream, the video still exists. Yeah. So we were able to do that. But it was something that I felt quite bad about.
But that's how I feel about science and knowledge, right? It's like continually evolving, and people think that because like you have a theory that gets debunked by another scientist, that means it was incorrect. It's like, no, that's how science works. You build on stuff, and when someone like figures something else you didn't figure out, that's, you're all happy. And that's how knowledge should work. It should be a rolling thing. Like, you should have the capacity to learn and change. Like, just because you say something doesn't mean that it's, you know, set in goal, and like, you know, you don't not allowed to change your mind or think differently.
Mm. Yeah, people hate being wrong. I love it. I love learning. Mm-hmm. I love being like, oh, I thought I knew this thing, and now all of a sudden I know something new. And I don't know if it's just modern culture, is it somehow attached to machismo of like, I know stuff and fuck you, I've never been wrong. Like, why? Yeah. People are dumb. Why do you think you know everything?
I think it's that little last part that you said of people are dumb, where sometimes when you hear you're wrong about something, what you are hearing and perceiving is the other person saying you're dumb, which that doesn't make you feel good.
Sure
that
don't.
Makes you feel kind of defensive. Mm-hmm. I'm not dumb. I am right about this thing. But so maybe there's a different way of going about it.
Ironically,
when you're correcting someone.
The more you know, the less you think you know.
There's a study about that, right?
Yeah, it's a real thing. So like the people who have a wider range of knowledge are less sure of it than the people who have a shorter range of knowledge.
So the less
you know, the more determined you are that it's correct, and the more you know, because you know all the variables and stuff, the less confidence you have, honestly.
So it should be the less you know.
Yeah, the less you know. The less you know.
If you think you don't know a lot, you might be smart.
Yeah.
If you think you know everything,
I think that's really
I got bad news for you.
Yeah. I think that's a perfectly accurate statement. If you think you don't know a lot, you're probably smart, right? Because
there's an implication that you're going to seek knowledge versus being like, I'm good.
But that's why you're still unsure of it, right?
Yeah,
you still don't have
that
blind confidence. And to me, I'm like, oh, that must mean you're smart.
So you said something earlier about when you are correcting someone or telling someone that their worldview or facts are incorrect, they dig in their heels.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? And what is the way around it? Is it rather by kind of empathy building?
That's a really good
and
question.
And kind of pivoting someone's own perspectives, wants, and desires towards the truth rather than fake.
I think the most important part is like having someone who's open to a conversation, right? Because if a person's not even there where they're willing to hear, or like, because some people just go into it like, no, I know. I don't need to know what you think you know. I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just having an open dialogue. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the answer to that is. I wish I did.
Hmm. Okay. So I'll pretend to be the lady who thinks the I Am Legend thing is going on. And you guys try and convince me.
So why, what exactly do you think the vaccine is doing?
I'll tell you what it's doing is it's just, it's like that Will Smith movie. It's gonna turn us all into zombies. What? I don't know. I don't know the science of it, but I think not a lot of other people don't know either.
Well, there's a lot of people who do know a lot of science of it. I could tell you some of that.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, because it's actually a safer vaccine, because other vaccines have basically a weaker version of the virus that they put into your body and they make antibodies. And this one just sort of gives your body the information it needs to make antibodies. So the virus is never actually affecting you if you have the mRNA vaccine. So like it's actually more safe because you can't get sick from it because they're not putting any part of the sickness in you, if that makes sense.
They're not putting the sickness in me. They're putting something in me.
Yeah. So they're putting in you instructions about how to fight off the sickness. And it's literally that, instructions.
That's not what Steven Crowder said.
I just don't think we know enough for me to risk it. Oh. You know, I have a job. I have a family.
I mean, COVID's also a really
I'm
big
so
risk.
Mad at
and
you,
you
right
have
now.
A job and a family.
Okay, well, let me ask Ned's question another way. We were looking at each other and we're like, I want to do this role play, but also what you're saying makes sense to me. So I don't even want to pretend to embody the person that doesn't.
Oh, no, I could do that all day. I just feel like it's irresponsible for me as a content producer.
Yeah, there you go.
To have to devote too much of a segment or a character that embodies those points of view.
But okay, so to ask another way, that's kind of asking about how, in an interpersonal way, okay. Do you convince someone about misinformation? But Sam B approaches it like, when you guys are researching and then you go team up with the writers, you're trying to create something that I imagine is not just speaking within the bubble of people that already agree with you. And that's something that we talk about a lot too, when we talked about that with
Echo Chamber.
Yeah, all of our videos. Like, we don't want to just reach the people that agree with us. So how do you present information in a way that reaches outside that bubble?
It's really tough, especially with a TV show, because they're choosing to tune in or not, and they already think something about you or they don't.
Yeah, I'm sure people already, Sam B, like, she's in Hollywood,
exactly.
Right? So they're going to assume, okay, well, she's XYZ.
And we are really left, and we don't really hide that at all. Like, we have a certain tilt, but we're not news. We're a comedy show, and we're allowed to do that. News organizations shouldn't do that. But there's also something to be said about too much, you know, evenness, where it's like, don't take this seriously. Come on, you're a serious journalist. He's talking, come on. But I don't know. I don't know what the answers are. These are very good questions that I feel like if I could answer would like bring about world peace, but I have no idea how to do this.
I'm trying to think what videos we've done, because we've had these conversations internally, both with you, but also before you entered our fold, of trying to make some videos where we knew the aim was going to an audience that was not our audience.
There's a very, very interesting study that showed that it's a very interesting thing. So basically it shows that if you're given a math problem, right? And the math problem has a political bias, you actually, if you share that bias, you actually get worse at math when you share. So like if it's like a math question about guns, right? And you have like a strong opinion one way or the other.
Oh, you are more likely to get the math problem wrong.
Yeah, if it
even
aligns with your political
math problem.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And that's really fascinating. So it's kind
that
of like
fascinating.
This bias tilt. I can send you the study. I think you would like it. But it's really interesting how sometimes we keep believing what we believe will circumvent a lot of stuff.
Right. It's cognitive dissonance, right?
Exactly.
Where it's more comfortable for me to not confront the fact that I might be wrong about something.
Exactly. And because it's like, because think about it, right? Because what is the benefit to you? You lose your community. You are become an outsider. Like a lot of people, like these beliefs make up their sort of sociological makeup of like the people who are around them. They believe these things as part of their community, as part of their culture. And so going against it, like you've got no benefit to you. Mm. You know, you lose everything, gain, like get nothing. Like you're not, you knowing this is not going to fundamentally change anything. So there's not a huge benefit, but you not knowing it does have really deep personal consequences.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Where there's true, real like social impact.
Yeah.
To changing your point of view, because all of a sudden now you're the black sheep of your friend group, your family,
exactly,
your society. It's kind of like we need to create a virus of ideas, a new idea that infects and replicates amongst subjects in society.
And turn me into a zombie? Next. Hell no. I was scrolling through trying to remember what video I was thinking of. And I think it was when we made this video on the Try Guys Try Immigrating to America. Mm. So this was when Trump had just enacted the Muslim ban. He was trying to ban people from
Muslim majority countries.
Muslim majority countries. Thank you. I'm so nice to have a fact checker live on the podcast. So, you know, we look together and we're like, how do we make something about this? How do we stand in solidarity? How do we say that this is fucking stupid, but also make a video that people who agree with the Muslim ban don't just turn it off? And so we framed it around an immigration quiz, and we go, oh, that's funny. Okay, yeah. Great. We're going to show that, like, oh, even Americans can't even pass this quiz. Or I think we actually did. But then we did this whole role play where we brought people in. We tried to lead with we led with comedy, which has a way of disarming people, and then empathy. We brought in real people. We gave them a face. We gave them stories. And then around 2/3 of the way through the video, bam, we hit you with, these people are really cool, right? These people are really nice. Here is this policy that is going to totally fuck up their lives. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we totally succeeded. I imagine that a majority of the people that watched the video already agreed with us. But maybe, just maybe, our hope at least, was that we framed the video in a way that it reached people who didn't.
Yeah.
And we've tried to do that a lot. I mean, a lot of our early gender explorations, like, they were comedy videos. But then the point of the video is, hey, you should think about the privilege you have as a man. You maybe haven't thought about it ever. So we've made you laugh, but also at the end of it, can you change the way you think even just a little bit?
And I think you guys have had some. I do think you've had a lot of positive change. Like, just like thinking about stuff you've done. I remember you guys had like a prostate check video, and sure, I think your dad said that, right? Like, he's like, even if one person goes to get checked because of this video, you've made a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like, you guys have. I mean, that's why I like reach out to you. You guys are great, and you try to live your values, which is rare.
And
honestly,
the fact that you said that means it is an objective fact. So I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
wow. Have that on the right. I'll tell you what the HR perspective and like management training tells you as to like how to change someone's viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine like we're having a conversation as like manager to employee, and the employee's like upset about something. Mm-hmm. The training that at least that I went through was telling to ask questions, right? To kind of ask a lot of questions as to like, what's the resistance around this thing? What are you hoping to achieve? What are your goals? And then to kind of pivot and frame the thing that you're trying to get them to do in terms of what's in it for them, what like why it will be. Because if you just come in and be like, you know,
what's the benefit to you?
You're fucking up. We got to have you do this. Like, yeah, you can do it that way, but it might not actually result in them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might kind of be.
Also, you want people to want to do what you want. Like, you know, right. Like if there's you have a good reason. Yeah. Like, they should either see that, or you can like, you know, point out what would be the benefit to them, which is sort of like with this thing is like, there's no benefit to you. You just get hurt. So like, why would you do it?
Well, so then I would say for someone who's trying to persuade an unvaccinated family member or friend, I ask them questions as to what their resistance is, and then try and like pivot as to what's the benefit for them.
I think a great thing to point out there would be like how bad COVID is, because it's like, I feel like people are like, oh, the vaccine is going to be worse. I'm like, no, whatever, it's not worse. And I think that's like a benefit to you, right?
Mm-hmm. You pointed it out before, but the whole idea of mild cases, I think maybe has done us a disservice as a culture.
The mild cases is people they don't send to the hospital to be on a respirator, but be certain it is real. Like, it is not fun. You are wrecked. You
I think
are
that's
absolutely
one of the
wrecked.
Times that I think through COVID, scientific jargon has in. Yeah. Some cases worked against us.
Mild makes me think of salsa. And I can house down some mild salsa. But if you tell me I'm going to be like hacking and can't move for days, weeks.
Can't breathe. It's going to, even if you get through it, it's not fun. And not you should fun. Protect yourself and your community. It's not a personal decision. It's a decision you're making for yourself and for the society that you live in. Because, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people go, well, it's a personal choice. I'm like, it's not a personal choice. No, you're part of a community and we're part of a society. You're making a choice for those around you.
I think we should pay people who get vaccinated
Who I think we should pay people who have already been vaccinated.
Can you imagine what it's like being in a third world country where they don't, they're trying to buy the vaccine and they're giving it away for here for free and people aren't taking it and they're trying to get
We went to a baseball game.
In Vietnam, you need to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are countries where you absolutely need to pay and the countries that don't have it.
You need to pay to get a vaccine. Yeah. And people are clamoring for it. People who can't afford it are paying for it. And we're like, I'm good.
The disrespect.
Your story, sorry.
Oh, I just, Zach and I went to a baseball game. Actually, it was Wes's first Dodger game, which was adorable.
He ran the bases at the end.
Oh, wow. It was so fun. And in the seventh inning stretch, like in the kind of breaks in between, they were like, and if you come down to concourse A, B, C, or D, or E, or F, or G, you can get a free COVID shot right now.
Wow. And then they were like, oh, that's so cool. Wait, does that mean people here aren't vaccinated? What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm full on, like, I'm going on record. I'm going to say that we just need vaccine passports to get into anything fun. I think that's the way to do it. It's just you can't get into anywhere. This is my thing. You're like, as a fact checker, you're like, that's bad for this reason. I'm like, you can't come anywhere fun unless you prove that you're vaccinated.
Can't go to a concert. Can't go to a baseball
game.
I do
know that there are people who cannot get vaccinated for genuine medical reasons. And okay, so we'll come up with a workaround for them. But also, I think, did Biden say he wanted to suggest paying people who have not gotten it yet?
I'm not sure.
I thought he said that.
To get it.
But I think, as you said, I think we should do the opposite. Give a stimulus to everyone who has been vaccinated, and then anyone who hasn't been vaccinated is going to be like, well, shit, I got to do that. And Zoe also is looking like that's a bad idea. And
I would love to know why, Zoe. I'm not going to poke holes in this. This sounds good to me.
All right.
Wait, she's on board. Why doesn't it sound good to you?
Really? For the vaccine passport thing, that's also... the slippery slope, right? Yeah. Because then you're like, okay, what other stuff do I have to put on there as far as like privacy? I'm a big privacy and data person. I do think you should get the vaccine, but it's a little like, you know, where are your papers? Where are your, you know, stuff like that? And it gives, if you are saying that,
aren't we like
who's
past the point of
no
return with privacy though? Aren't we all like carrying microchips on us all the time?
Right. So you have a GPS tracking you all the time, which is why it's ridiculous to think that they're putting a microchip in the vaccine because you're carrying around a GPS. But I still have the thing to put my phone down, right?
A Garmin?
But so say who would be checking these passports? Was it police? So then would they be just checking passports? Illegal immigrants? Would they be checking for other things? Would they be targeting certain communities and certain groups? Like,
yeah, I don't like that.
I'm more talking like Live Nation.
I'm not saying that you need your passport to move freely as a person. I'm just like, you can't come to a Dodgers game unless you've proven to me
I mean, you could definitely do that.
It's possible. We did it for the Vax Live event, concert with, the concert to reunite the world, which we did 6 months ago and the world was not reunited. We failed.
Damn it, J-Lo, you were supposed to reunite the world.
Give it time, man.
There was like this... you know, app-based thing where you had to have a negative COVID test. And maybe that's not realistic for, you know, every single NFL game.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, I do think like if you're congregating in a large group, it's not unreasonable to be like everyone be vaccinated.
Here's what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm a very selfish person. Mm-hmm. I want to go to a music festival so badly. Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to go to one in October and they just keep canceling them. Yeah. Okay, so Jazz Fest, which is in New Orleans, in October, got canceled. Stevie Nicks, who is headlining a bunch of festivals in October, just said that she's canceling all her shows for the rest of the year, which I think is really responsible because she, even though she's vaccinated, she's older, she risk, she has an older fan base. Very responsible, Stevie Nicks. That said, I want to see some concerts. And so people get your shit together. This is all I care about here. I don't care. Like, I'm past the point. I only have so much empathy. And at this point, I just want to see a concert. That's what's motivating me.
Well, I mean, that's the frustrating thing, right? Because if everyone would just get on board, we could get to normal quicker. And you're making it more difficult.
We were so close.
Yeah, that's we were so close. Yeah, yeah.
Persuasive point.
Yeah, we could get to normal quicker if you just got with the program. And it's not anything untoward. And it really is a population health thing. It's very frustrating.
But a lot
very
of
ridiculous.
These communities, like, you know, I'm from Florida.
Yeah, I mean, they never change.
Jacksonville
right?
was hosting like live USC events in February. Yep. It's like the community is already back to normal. And any to suggest otherwise is...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Some ding-dang politician forcing you to do something that's taken away your freedom.
You know what I just realized? We're 55 minutes into this episode.
Oh.
And I, as the Miles, never adjusted the cameras. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, why is Ned so little in that frame?
Oh, I'm so little.
Yeah, that's not me, huh?
I'm just with my pillow friends.
And definitely a little blown out.
But so how do I look?
You look great. Okay. I'm looking at that and I'm like, Zoe's
framed. For a podcast, I've got a face for podcasts. Well. So very happy with that.
Well, geez. What a fun time to talk about how frustrating the world is.
Yeah. I mean, it's been frustrating for a while.
So what... back to some fun stuff. What should the Try Guys try, in your professional opinion?
Really? Yeah. Oh, my God. I think you guys should go to space. I think that there's a way to do it, and there's a way to budget it, and I got some ideas. I think you should do that.
So that's been on our bucket list forever, since the beginning. We know how to make it happen. Okay, let's just do it. Okay. I don't know. Here's the thing, though. Yeah, do you think it's been tainted?
Funny. Yes, I do think it's been tainted, but I think that...
By the Elons and the Bransons.
So I think that when you do it, don't be the Elons of it. Be the everyman of it. Don't get a seat on that thing. Don't pay $5 million for a thing. Yeah. So I think there's ways to do it. There's just the everyman way to do it. And I think that's what you should do.
My whole thing about
It wouldn't be space, technically.
No, I know. It'd be like the upper atmosphere. Would you let us call it Try Guys Go to Space if we just go to...
Yes. Okay. I would let the title be Try Guys Go to Space if you went into the stratosphere.
All right. Zoe says
if you were
okay.
part of the orbit, that's good enough.
My whole thing about making a space video is that all space exploration should ultimately be about how life in space is not fun or sustainable and not
Why
something that any of us should
delving?
Want.
And people like don't people
this
are
is
like,
the
oh,
planet
we'll,
we have. Take care of it, you
thank
dumbasses.
You. Yeah, people are like, oh, we'll go to Mars. I'm like, do you have any idea how hard it is to keep life?
You want
to
be growing poop potatoes like Matt Damon in the Martian? Yeah. You don't want that.
You can't even have poop potatoes. You don't understand. We're so far away from poop potatoes. I wish we could have
poop potatoes. Life on Mars would suck. I want you to just imagine. Just go outside for a walk. Hard. After this podcast is done, just go outside. Breathe in some fresh air. You'll never have that again.
I don't
know. I think it's dope, man.
It's not dope. It sucks. Space. It's dope.
I think space
it's dope
exploration is dope, but you got to be realistic about it. It's not within...
Well, it's sure. not our future. It's not the future of mankind.
It's not the future of mankind. But
or
like,
if it is, it's because we fucked up.
Anytime you look at a rocket taking off, it's dope. Inspiring as hell.
Yes. And I'm fully on board with that because it's like
and also some of the most brilliant minds in the world.
Are working on that. And it shows like, wow, look what we can do when we come together. But I just take umbrage with the idea that like, the point of space exploration is that we can trash this planet and go somewhere else.
Absolutely. No. If anything, it should
is be
that
the
what
opposite. People are saying?
Well, that's just kind of always in the back of people's mind. Like, we're going to go to space and then we'll go live somewhere else. And it like, so who cares what happens? That's the subtext.
It definitely is the subtext. I've definitely heard people like talk like that. And I'm like, you don't know. No, this
you
is
don't want
this
that.
Is your best chance as continuing to live and your species.
Yeah.
Okay, what else should we make?
Oh,
Try I think Guys that, terraform Mars.
They want to. I think that a lot of the stuff that you do is really interesting stuff that you do. Like, I loved it when you guys like traveled and like went in Alaska and like all that stuff. Like, that's like really, really fascinating stuff. And I love that stuff where it's things that you can learn also.
Okay, here's our closing plea. Go to if you have a parent. Perhaps even you. I assume, dear listeners, if you are listening, you are in the vaccinated group because you're cool. Yeah. But if you maybe perhaps your parents don't want to do it, you
if
say,
you're
hey.
Not, you probably turned it off.
Yeah,
the Iron Legend lady.
You go, Mom, Dad, I want to see the Try Guys go do more travel videos. They're funny. They fill me with joy. They make your son and or daughter happy. Go get vaccinated so the Try Guys can travel again. Thank you.
That's fair. Do it for Zach. Do it so that Zach can go to a concert.
So
come
that
on,
I
guys.
Can make cool videos.
It's been a tough year.
Don't you want to see some sick content on the Gym and the Try Guys Gram?
Right?
You know? Come on, man.
It's time for our elder to give us some advice. Normally, we have Miles, the least experienced member, give advice. That'll go for Miles.
Well, okay, we should say, Zoe, your mom has been here quietly listening, occasionally nodding the whole time. Would you like to give her an introduction?
Yeah, sure. So this is my mom. She's awesome. You're going to love her. Her name is Shirin Malik. And yeah, she's going to give you some world-weary advice for you and your lives to make it better.
It's advice that's so hot, it'll be Shirin with Shirin.
Oh, that's very nice.
That's better.
Very
I was going to do like advice that you'll like with Shirin Malik.
Malik.
Yeah.
I was gonna try it. Malik.
All right. We didn't really prompt you for this, but this is your chance to give the audience advice. Come on over. You got to speak right into this thing.
We all are human beings, so we have to live together. No fighting, nothing. It's very hard on our side, like Pakistan and all Afghanistan. So I really want them to live peacefully, everyone. And it's not good to be fighting with each other.
That's the best advice we've ever gotten on this show.
Yeah.
I know there's that one time Miles said, you know, about shoelaces.
Yeah. I mean, normally, you know, sometimes we talk about grapes too, but I'd say.
Buy a candle.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks
for
being
delightful.
Here.
Thank you so much for letting me go on and on. Yeah.
Be discerning with the information you see online. Mm-hmm. Be discerning with the information you share online. Mm-hmm. And there's no need to fight.
Be careful good. What you comment because I might check it.
And Zoe, where can the people find you?
Oh.
You don't do social media.
No, I don't do social media. Yeah, so you guys are going to be going to find me in the video we're going to do today.
Hell yeah. We're going to make a video of Zoe today.
If you Google, actually, if you just Google Zoe Mullick, you'll see a bunch of articles that I've written and some stuff and LinkedIn stuff. But you don't have to go find me. I'm fine with you not knowing who I am. That's okay. You don't have to seek me out. I'm good. It's okay.
I love it. That's the way to be. Ned Hiss with the official Tripod theme song.
Well, you gotta check your facts and check them once. You gotta check your facts, check them again. Mark Zuckerberg can get fucked.
Nice.
It's the Tripod.
That was good.